Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. It's Dave out here at Pop Culture Stars. We are doing the dynamic duo tonight. Going to be Brother Todd and Brother Dave going on this evening. And I hope everybody is doing well. Open mic night, so we're just going to fight our way through it. So, Todd, if you would, lead us off with the greet. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural on so many levels. Just a bunch of little, like, real-life stuff. Some will relate, some won't. But things are just, you know, I'm digging it. Just saying. And, yeah, hey, people, we're happy to have you here on VOC Nation, thebradyhicks.com. It's Brady, thanks for giving us the platform. We're really grateful, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to have you aboard tonight. Good to hear everything's going well. Down here on our side of things, of course, in North Carolina, we're keeping an eye on this damn hurricane. And it looks as if it's going to ease its way through Florida. And from what the I always like these projections that the Weather Service puts up, you know, because today it looks like this and tomorrow it looks like that. So you never can tell until that thing's right there on your doorstep. But it looks at this moment, it'll be cruising right through Orlando between Sunday evening and Monday afternoon. And as I was telling Todd at the pre-show, my folks finally drove down to my brother's house in Orlando to visit for the first time. So they're down there now, and a hurricane will blow through. So, you know, just the way it goes. Gives them more time to hang out and enjoy the scenery while the wind's blowing, I guess. But,
Well, go get some family quality time. They'll definitely be close as they're hunkering down.
Yeah, absolutely. And my brother has a closed-in pool, so, I mean, if nothing else, they could sit in the pool and watch the world fall apart. So it'll be good to go for them. But, yeah, it looks as if this Hurricane Aaron, which I didn't even know was out there until I started checking on this Dorian thing, is peeling off and heading back out into the Atlantic and will be somebody else's problem out there. But outside of Dorian, it doesn't look like there's anything else out there looking to see. You know how they have different names? Yep. They have a tropical disturbance, and then they have a tropical depression.
Which hurricane will depress you. From being disturbed to being depressed. Good grief.
Those little breaks, ain't it? So, that is that. So, with it being open mic night, Brother Todd, is there anything you would like to speak on, or should we just find a topic and run with it?
I've got a couple things I'll talk about. We took a well-earned night off last week due to issues. Last week, on the 20th, I celebrated 34 years since I graduated recruit training at Parris Island, South Carolina. It was an most auspicious occasion. Yeah, it was something. So I've had all this weird kind of deja vu nits and other stuff that happened after that. So y'all know I love my job. What I'm doing, I put in my resignation. And this Friday's my last day. That is, however, because I have accepted a job, the government gave me an offer. It was pointed out to me that, go figure, my first day in the government, you know, my first working day on the government payroll is an actual holiday. So that's a
hell of a way to start. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But it's with look, it was not easy to go do the face to face with Daryl and Randy from GDIT, talking with Jeanette, some others, the teammate Grisha, the support I've gotten, they've been outstanding. They couldn't match what I was offered. And it was a bittersweet kind of thing to be, you know, to hand that in there. So that's thinking huge life change here. You know, I took a flyer to come up here, and I never saw this happen. So as part of that, I'm like, okay, I got to really, you know, make myself a resident, that kind of thing. So I started this stuff when Yuki came up here last time, you know, go get the state driver's license and, you know, start working and getting the vehicle turned over to Indiana. So last Friday, went up there and I got the stuff, managed to get through all the plates and all that. Turns out Indiana is one of those states where they do stuff alphabetically. So you can register your vehicle, the initial registration, whenever you want. And they don't backdate it to when your stuff expired or, you know, when it was good or anything like that, or, you know, to your last date. You know, how long was your vehicle plate good for? Okay, we'll start there. None of that. They ask, what date you get in Indiana? They backdate it to there. Of course, they need all the money they can get for the streets up here. I'm telling you, it is no joke. It looks, man, it just, roads are brutal. So anyhow, I'll go up there and go to get my final plate. Check this out. So I'm in there August 23rd. I drop a chunk of change. They're like, oh, yeah, you got to get a new sticker in October.
Jeez, please.
I was almost expired as soon as I got my plates. What the heck, man? But it's kind of cool. They do. They can do this stuff online like we do in North Carolina. They also have these kiosks all over. And some of the local stores, you can go to their service desk and they can get you the stuff too. So that's pretty cool. I was up there getting my plate stuff done. I saw something that I have not seen in a really long time. Keep in mind, I started this with a graduated boot camp August 20th, 1985, referencing the 34 years ago. So I'm up there August 23rd getting my plate stuff done. And I saw, of all things, an honest to goodness, it's true to quote Madeline Kahn, a Ponderosa Steakhouse.
Oh, geez.
Right? And it occurred to me that the last time I had eaten at one was August 24th, 1985. My buddy Joe Camberari and I went and we hit that Ponderosa because they had a breakfast buffet at the time on our way to Cedar Point. And it was just such a wild sense of deja vu. You know, I mean, so I took the pictures. I sent it over to Joe. And he's like, dude, where'd you find that? Is it real?
Yeah.
And so for, you know, just because I stopped in there and I go to get lunch, turns out they have like a little buffet they do as an option at lunch. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty stinking cool. So one day short of 34 years to the day that I last ate at a Ponderosa Steakhouse. How's that for a little bit of weirdness? Kind of surreal, right?
Yeah, just finding one of those alone.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a trip. Now, just some odds and ends trivia. I looked this up. It was on Wikipedia, so we all know that was true. Did you know the Ponderosa was founded by one Dan Blocker, who played Haas on Bonanza. And where did
Bonanza.
They live on Bonanza? The Ponderosa. You got it. So there is your piece of absolutely useless trivia, but somehow cool and neat. Well, at least to me, that ain't saying much, I guess. So there was that. So how's that for a little bit of a blast from the past type stuff going on? So then, there on the 23rd, I'd taken that day off to go and do that stuff. And just for the record, I will tell you, I had no more than a 10-minute wait when I went into the DMV. And I know people are out there crying bullshit, and saying it's a lie. And again, I will quote Madeline Kahn, it's true, it's true. I had no more than a 10-minute wait, and I bet the transaction was completed under 15 minutes. Just no muss, no fuss. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And I suspect that a lot of that is because, and I watch a bunch of people going up to the automated kiosk, because people can do that, man, that takes a lot of the traffic out of that office space.
Yeah, we haven't done the automated thing down here yet, but I can tell you two things to do with the DMV. Number one is don't go down there on the first of any month, because everybody's down there on the first. Wait till the last week of the month where everybody's broke or nobody's worried about it. And the other thing is, and here's the big one, have your crap together. And
no kidding, Sherlock.
For all these people that bring 5-headed youngins in there and are all stressed out because the kids won't sit still, look, you could find a sitter for the kids when you want to go clubbing. Find a sitter for the kids when you got to go to the DMV, because as a child, and I was a kid once, going to the DMV, as a matter of fact, waiting anywhere, the dentist's office, the DMV, anywhere where you're supposed to sit still in a waiting room, sucks when you're 5 or 6 years old. So,
Don't load them up with the most sugar. What is it? Chocolate frosted sugar bombs, to use a Calvin and Hobbes.
They give them each a little can
exactly
of Betty Crocker frosting before they go in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
Much they're doing the Walking Dead. What size did you call that can of pudding that person?
Oh, yeah. Number 10 can. Yeah,
Let's give the kid a number 10 can of pudding before he goes, before we take him someplace. True.
But, by and large, the DMV is like anything else. If you go up there and you have your stuff together, it's usually a relatively, in and out type thing, but it's like anything else. I mean, even when you go to the grocery store, I know I have the curse on me that no matter how hard I try, no matter which line I get into, and no matter how fast the cashier is, I will always be behind that one person that will ring up a can of deodorant for $3.89 and goes, "Hey, wait a minute, did that ring up $3.89? We'll set $3.69 back on the shelf." And, I've been the guy who's reached in his pocket and pulled change out and put it on the belt and said, "Here, I'll pay for the difference. Let's just go." When you go to the DMV, it only takes one or two guys going in there, and if it's your first trip to the DMV, I'll give you a pass. But when you got a head full of gray hair, go in there, make sure you have your proof of insurance and you have your driver's license and you have every possible way to pay for it. Cash, card, check,
A spare arm or leg.
Yeah, whatever it takes, whatever medium, carry, you know, Cronkites and Euros and whatever it is. And that way there's no him-hawing, and it helps move things along. And, you know, it makes the process a whole lot more painless. But I think they got automated ones up there. Now, I know down here in North Carolina, we've got the online thing where you can do renewals online, but you can't do nothing else. Everything else got to be handled at the building, but you can do renewals online.
Sure can. That's and that's got to have helped down there too. In fact, my bride went ahead and she went through and got her real ID within the last week or so, and it went fairly well for her. She said she went in there. She went there, tried to show up 45 minutes early, said there was already a line, and she got out within a reasonable amount of time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, she got out within a reasonable amount of time, because that's, tell you what, I don't think I've ever had a good experience at that particular B&B there. I had some that weren't horrible, for lack of better description, but I've had some brutal ones, like you said, people just not prepped. All right, so anyhow, so that Friday, in that day I took off, sitting there, you know, jump online, watch my little Facebook there really quick, and see one of my former Marines says, "Hey, I'm getting ready to take off. We're going to the getting ready to shoot out to Indianapolis, Indiana for the 100th American Legion Convention. So it's a place where the first one was, and the place where the headquarters is. They did it up here for 100 years. Really cool cemetery. Big props to the American Legion. They do a lot of great stuff for the veteran community. On a ton of levels, from the Sons of American Legion, the Women's Auxiliary, the sense of community that they give our veterans, the funeral support they provide. They do just, and of course, the way they work with the lobbying portion of stuff that they do is for the veteran community is outstanding. So anyhow, so this guy, one of my Marines that worked for me a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, he says he's going to be up here. So I shoot him an IM. And we start bandying dates. I said, "Dude, you know I'm in Indianapolis and I work downtown. I know you're doing I know where the convention's being held." I go, "That's about a mile from the building I work in." He's like, "Seriously?" He goes, "Wife and I are both going to be there." We sat there and we tried a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Didn't work, you know, for some of those nights because they just have a ton of stuff going on. Boy, he had a full schedule going on. And there was no way I was going downtown while the parade was on. I just wasn't going to play with the crowds. So I go over there. I managed to get up with him and his wife this evening. We were able to sit down for 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes, you know, the better part of 3 hours. And it was just really good to catch up. Turn out to do the math. Last I seen him face-to-face was 1993, when I dropped him off at the airport because he had a commercial flight out of Naha. He actually had a commercial flight to go back to the world. Just crazy. So it was really cool to get with him and meet his wife. And, you know, we just sat there and got it. Some props out to our Liz, our waitress Liz, at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis, Indiana. She took care of us, did a great job. Because we just sat there, one was drinking tonic water, one was drinking Diet Coke, and one was drinking iced tea. And she comped our drinks because we just, you know, we sat there, we were quiet, we didn't fuss, we didn't muss. And, she did, she comped our drinks. So, of course, we tipped her well, but that's kind of thing. But, yeah, it was just really something to see. to see Mr. Chan, oh, so many years later. What a trip. 1993 is the last time I seen him. Even for him, he was, how'd he do? Garion wasn't even a year old yet.
Yeah, it's, when I was over there at my folks' house just recently, Dad got a phone call, and he's reconnected with a bunch of guys from Paris Island, Vietnam, and everything that he's been with over the years. And now Dad's become kind of like the elder consultant whenever two guys getting into a pissing match about something in the Marine Corps. They're like, let's call a Sergeant Major, and they'll call Dad up, and he'll 99% of the time have the answer for him. But he's been able to reconnect with a lot of those guys and done him some good too, man. You know, just the, you know, and there's been a lot of good stories and a lot of bad stories with, you know, reconnecting. But on the flip side, you know, it's amazing how these guys that, you know, fought together in some godforsaken chunk of land in Vietnam are able to come together and shoot the breeze and everything, you know, 50 years later. So, yeah, that's good that you're able to reconnect like that.
Yeah, it is. It's I think, let's say, without getting into any of the complications of a wartime era, one of the biggest things that people are going to miss once they leave the military community is that camaraderie, that sense of belonging. Because there's not a ton of things that are like that. I think that's just really one of the things that people deal with when they leave that. Then, and that's the simplest issue because they go through so much together just day in, day out, you know, prepared to knowing that, you know, it takes one phone call to, for the, you know, to tell us that the balloon's gone up and it's time for us to resolve the issue. People are there and they're ready to go rock and roll. It's just, you know, working what they do to train and do it. It's a really underappreciated thing by the unwashed civilians that permeate our populace. You know, that's an impressive thing. It's that just the way the military will hold together. It was great watching, you know, I was sitting in the lobby of the hotel that was hosting, doing a lot of the heavy lifting here for the convention, and being able to sit with a bunch of those people and talk, and it's really a neat thing. It's, in fact, I had a conversation last night with a Chief One officer that recently retired, and it was kind of funny. We took care of business early in the conversation, and boy, if we didn't get into a fundamentals and Marine Corps leadership discussion before we knew it, just one of those things. Boy, it's, you know, we just, by God, we have our default settings. We sure do. We have some default settings. That is honest and goodness true.
Yeah, sometimes really you can't help it. I mean, you do something for so many years, you just can't help the conversation always seems to go back to it, you know?
Oh, yeah. We, like I said, we definitely have some stinking default settings. It's it's a trip.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, I was telling you before the show how my folks had were down Paris Island and looking around, and you know, we haven't lived down there since 1983. And
well, before you go too far, let me ask you a quick question. Tide changes. You ever going to forget that smell?
Oh God, yeah, yeah. I'm low tide at PI will drop you on your back. It's a whole different kind of stink, and the rats. You remember the swamp rats they had there? The thing about the size of, you know, large cats, because they would go down there in the marsh and eat all the damn shellfish and everything else that was laying around the swamps. Ain't nothing but straight protein, and those things would get huge. And it was real easy to mix them up for raccoons crossing the road, but yeah.
When you look through,
yeah.
True.
You didn't have that big fluffy ring tail. You had that old long stringy one. You're like, that's not a raccoon. So, yeah, God, I mean, I guess it's the brackish water or quite possibly the shellfish, you know, the oyster beds and all that down there that makes it smell like that. But my God, it'll burn.
There's that. There's the earth itself, if you will, the soil that's there. That's the, you know, with all the, you've got so many nutrient stuff washing in and out of there and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's, yeah, it's, it is just absolutely a unique smell because, you can be away from it for decades and you get near it again. And, may not sound right, but at a certain point, I will tell you, I've returned once for Barrett, dropped off a care package, Barrett Dilley, hell of a Marine, pseudo nephew, if you will, another Marine nephew. I was there for Amelia Craft's graduation, and I was there for Garion's graduation. And, you know, that's three times in, so it's been 8 years, in 26 years. And it's different how that smelled. To just go back there first time, it kind of freaked me out with the deja vu. Remember, I was one of the ones that was traumatized while there. Yeah. It was, you know, going through that reshaping experience of recruit training, traumatized, probably the wrong word. It's something you don't soon forget. So that was the deja vu, kind of a little bit of wow. But after that, it was like, I'm home.
Yeah, I mean, it's
strange,
and it actually, it's not a bad place. I mean, Buford wasn't that bad. I mean, to be honest with you,
no.
it was a culture shock. Don't get me wrong. When I was a kid, moving from Chicago to Paris Island, you go from Lake Michigan to the Atlantic Ocean, and if you've ever stuck your feet in Lake Michigan, you could sit in there chest deep and still see your feet. They have rocks and not shells. There's no crab or anything like that running around. It's because it's all fresh water, and
you don't have
any chafing, nothing like that.
Fish.
So, you know, I'm a kid, moved down here to Paris Island, and, next thing you know, you got toads hopping all over the place, you got snakes, you got, you know, God knows what kind of insects. You go to the beach.
Damn, if you don't sound like that old song, I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me.
Yeah, you're walking on crunched up shells that are cutting the bottom of your feet. You get water in your eye and it's burning like hell because it's salt water. And you're like, dude, what am I doing here? But I'll put it to you this way. I would dare to say that I like Buford more than I like being here in Jacksonville. it just, I don't know, to me it was just nicer down there. And I lived down there when they were filming the Great Santini and all that stuff. So, I mean, it really wasn't the semi-resort area that it is now. Still, it's right nice. Funny thing is, though, the folks, they drove in the Laurel Bay there, because that's where we live, you know, a couple miles from the air station. And they drove by the old house, and I was looking at the picture. They closed the carport in and made it a garage. But outside of that house, that house looked exactly the same it did when I was a 10-year-old kid. And, I mean, it got the same holly tree in the front yard, the whole nine yards. I'm scratching my head. I'm good grief. It's like time has stood still, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. The remember visiting Wayne Bennett, his bride, Tashimi, and their family for Thanksgiving many moons ago when they were stationed down there. We went down there and, you know, hung out. The that was just a great time. The boy, this is just kind of like one of those Marine things. So what did we do with the kids? We went out there to that, and it wasn't, you know, now that I think about it, it was an actual garage. It wasn't a carport. We all sat out there in the carport, and the kids were little. And it kind of started a family custom, because that's where Garion first learned Uno.
Ah.
And we said their family thing, that just everybody sitting out there. The adult males were imbibing, and but we were all sitting there. I mean, just quality time, hanging out, playing Uno. It was a hellacious, good time. The man, I got some good memories there. Yeah, we
just, that wasn't bad,
man,
down there.
There,
I mean,
we all cooked. Yep, yep. Go on, Dave.
Yeah, well, no, it's just, you know, and maybe it's because I lived on base, but I mean, you lived on base, and you know, every bicycle had a basket on it of some type or another. And that's because mom would run you down, you know, every day. It was, here's a couple bucks. I need a half gallon of milk from the 7-day store. And, you know, you'd swoop down there on your bike, swoop back. If you weren't doing that, you're on your bike, swooping to the baseball parks at the, out there by the schools. And you and a bunch of guys get together and play baseball, or you'd be going to the boat ramp and fishing or crabbing or whatever. And it's just unfortunate that you really can't do that now. And to be honest with you, I haven't lived on base, Jesus, since Buford, because we moved out in town. We never lived on base here in Lejeune. But, you know, it's you can't do that anymore. And perhaps that's the reason why I enjoyed Buford so much, is because it was, I mean, yeah, it was nothing. You know, you'd get your fishing pole and you'd get a garden shovel. You'd get your mom's garden shovel out of the shed, and you put that thing in the back of your shorts. You know, back in the day, we used to always wear those elastic waist gym shorts everywhere we went. And yeah, you get right on down there to the boat ramp, and you take that shovel, turn over the dirt two or three times, and I mean, there was enough crickets and worms there. Whenever you needed a worm, you just walk back over there, you grab one, put on your hook, threw it out there in the, you know, out there in the, it was the Broad River is what it was, and go out there and, I mean, you'd catch anything, and sometimes we turn it loose, sometimes we brought it home, and, you know, it was just, it was living the life, you know. And but nowadays, for crying out loud, some kid goes out there with a package of chicken backs. That's if you could find a place that sells chicken backs anymore. And some string. Next thing you know, the game warden's got some 9-year-old kid up against the car, you know, for violating some, size limit regulation or something. So, but yeah,
parents got to educate the kids and stuff like that. It's the worst. I tell you what, it's the adults that you see that are breaking the rules that are teaching the kids. It's pretty simple. If that kid learned that it's okay to run a pink light, to run a to take undersized fish, to take all this stuff, and they're trying to put some of those rules there because the population increase, that kind of stuff. There's just more harvesting happening, and when they don't see parents respecting the law or following the rules, that they have no reason to follow. So, no, it's all those things, man. We've talked about it before on the show. The whole this is a male crab. This is a female crab.
Yeah, yeah. Always throw back to females.
You're throwing your cast net. Stuff like that. Look, shrimp grow fast. Some of these smaller ones, go ahead and launch them. And, if you got a still line or two out there trying to catch something while you're doing this stuff, yeah, keep a couple, three of the smaller ones, that kind of thing, just so you can reload your line, go. You got a couple, three smaller ones, go check your thing. Are they still alive on there, not alive, whatever. Just, reload it. But you're catching your own bait. That's good to go. You're only allowed to keep so many. Man, make sure you've got the right size container. Make sure you're controlling that. Do that. And you almost always see something unbelievably cool while you're out there. So there's follow the rules. It ain't that damn hard. A little education, and I get some of the rules are freaking confusing. I've been out there, depending upon the species of fish you catch. Damn it, are these a minimum of 13 or 14 or 15? Hi. Just for the record, everybody has that multifunction device in one of their pockets that people refer to as cell phones. Pull that thing out. You can, most places, you can find a way to, you can even save your links on the cell phones. It's amazing. Damn cell phones, oh, by the way, have more computing power than the freaking space shuttle had. And just freaking amazing. And you can have that data right there. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, this is a 14. We're good. This was a 15-plus fish. Solid. We got eats.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, you got to carry a lawyer with you when you're fishing, just to make sure that you're not doing anything. The thing of it is, though, is for every guy that gets busted out there and didn't know any better, there's probably five that knew better and was doing something wrong intentionally. So,
absolutely. I concur.
Living down there was good. And, it's kind of and that was the thing that hit me between the eyes, that living on base was kind of a microcosm. You had everything you needed right there on base. And when they started shipping us kids out for junior high school, we had to go to public schools instead of military-based schools when we hit the seventh grade. And, man, talk about a culture shock. I mean, you're talking, 2 miles down the road from where you've lived for the X amount of years, and they take you out to this school, and you're just like, huh? And I mean, everything was just different. The teachers were different. The lunches were different, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was still a good time down there in Beaufort. I enjoyed it. And granted, it's real easy to enjoy something when you're a kid and you're not having to pay light bills and all that kind of nifty stuff. But it still was a nice, it seemed to be a lot and perhaps it's just the way the world's turning, but and I've said it before about Myrtle Beach, something about North Carolina, it seems to be like 50 years behind when it comes down to their lawmaking, and it's still kind of archaic to a certain extent, you know what I mean? So but yeah, South Carolina was always a good place. Beaufort was always fun. Paris Island was, and they still have the, and I'm sure you've seen it being there so many times lately, where it still says Making Marines right there when you're entering. So, yeah, I'll get down that way sooner or later. I mean, I'm planning on heading down to see my brother in December, if finance is willing, and might take the same track my folks did and pull over at Paris Island, and take a lap, and then keep right on getting it for Orlando. We'll see.
Yeah, the hey, check this out. You just mentioned the school lunches and stuff, and I had to laugh. We had staff luncheon. They went, they had chips and water and cookies, and they had hot dogs and Sloppy Joes. And I had to laugh because, A, Sloppy Joes are a northern thing. And I was like, flashback, boy, that is so 70s. Because I remember our school growing up, we didn't have daily hot lunches. All right? So I want to say maybe once a month. It really felt like they only did it. They might have done it up to six times a school year, not a whole lot. It was either Sloppy Joes or hot dogs, and we had both, but it was pretty cool watching people mix a Sloppy Joe and hot dog on the same bun and just have at it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, something about Sloppy Joe, it just goes on anything. I mean, white bread is a little, you might be pushing it with the white bread, but man, you could take Sloppy Joe and, yeah, I remember when me and Dale first started going out, we put Sloppy Joe on top of pasta, and she thought we were out of our minds. I'm like, nah, you got to try it. Don't make any spaghetti sauce. Just take manwich and put it on top of some pasta. Yeah, you're in business. Something about Sloppy Joe's, man. I can, as a matter of fact, me and Rob bared down on 2 pounds of it the other night, and there wasn't much left for anybody else, but that's good.
Well, but I mean, you're good grief, Rob. I know that big boy can pack away some chow.
Yeah, he shows good no mercy, grief. I tell you.
he's got to be close to 100 pounds heavier than when I first met him.
Yeah, he's a hoss now, and, you know, he'll keep right on eating until he gets to the plate, and then he'll taste styrofoam and he'll stop eating. But he's, yeah, when it come down to, and Dale, she's kind of lost her taste for manwich and everything. So, you know, we have manwich when she's not going to be around, and, man, it's a damn free-for-all. I mean,
And you still have all your fingers?
Oh, yeah.
Because, dude, I know you're taking chances with that one, trying to grab an extra damn bun.
Well, I'm one of these guys that makes them so damn heavy that I got to eat them with a fork, and I throw pepper jack cheese on them in the whole nine yards, and I put them on a plate, got to eat them with a fork because you can't pick the darn things up because they got so much stuff on them. But, man, that's some good eating. I could care less. It's that, and I'll tell you another good old military chow that nobody gives any creds to is Hamburger Helper. Everybody always wants to raise hell and cast shade on Hamburger Helper. Let me tell you something. You lay down on some lasagna Hamburger Helper or the chili mac, son, it's all over. I eat that stuff all night.
I guess it's because I mix my own spices and stuff. Do the same functionality, but just not out of a box. I got no issue with that. Just do your own functionality without a, just, you don't need the box, the crap that's in that. But you know me, I got, you know, I do realize I actually, shame to admit it, I have two pre-mixed things in my cupboard. I don't have enough stuff to make my own garam masala. I darn sure I'm not going to buy another mortar and pestle to freaking grind things like I have at home. You know, me doing the geo-bachelor thing, geographical bachelor for the, since I use a shorthand that the military understands for our non-military people out there. So I won't buy some, you know, I won't buy some of the tools. I don't want to repeat much in the line of tools. But I do have pre-mixed garam masala, which the nutshell of the translation is spice mix, an Indian thing. It's a, oh, man, talk about the spice of life right there. And I have, and I am not ashamed to admit this part, I have Lori salt. I am still a Lori salt junkie. Man, I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's some of that old chow. Like I said, folks want to cast shade on it and say, ah, oh, well, that's ghetto stuff. I'm here to tell you, some of that old chow is.
No, it's good because, right, you know, it's not that hard to. You have to buy, you know, your can of either tomato sauce or spaghetti sauce or let's say diced tomatoes or whatever. Just mix your own stinking spices, man. You can make the sauce. You can do that. You can you're gonna have your grind in the pan anyways. Working on that routine, whether you're doing just straight beef or a mix of beef and pork or whatever, and you've got to boil noodles on the side anyways. Well, just buy a bag of noodles. You can boil it, you know. And while I'm saying I won't buy Hamburger Helper, it's not like I don't use a recipe concept. You're kidding me.
Right. Yeah, I'll tear that stuff up. Now, I will tell you, they had the beef noodle and the stroganoff, and they taste like dirt. And that's not being facetious either. That is an actual, if somebody had to ask me what they taste like mud. And those are the two.
Just for the record, I apparently, unlike you, didn't spend much time eating dirt or mud.
Or paste or Play-Doh or something. But
me being a Marine, crayons is another story, but you know, that's a discussion for another time.
For the dirt-eating population out there, you now know that what the stroganoff tastes like. It's just, it's bland, and it's just oogie, man. I cannot get it down. But you take that chili mac, oh, my. Now, I ain't going to tell you about the residual. I mean, don't get me wrong. An hour later, you know, you're having the group therapy session in the head with yourself. You know, hey, you know, you knew what you were getting into. Why'd you eat four plates of it? But the chili mac is something to behold, and lasagna. And they've had a couple other ones.
When you're making the dogs run for the door, you know it was a mistake.
Or when the dogs won't eat it, you know.
Oh my God! You know what? True story. Man, am I going to drop this bomb? Boy, I'm going to pay for this one. So Yuki decided, because she saw that I would experiment with foods and I was doing okay, she wanted to add corn to curry stuff. And her family had this dog that would eat most anything, and that dog would not even eat that curry that Yuki made. Boy, that was still... Boy, I bring that one up. Boy, I catch grief for that one, so I know I'm going to pay for bringing this up.
Well, Curry's another one. I mean, I'll hand it to Dale. Dale can make some mean curry rice, and let me tell you something. Her mom, holy smokes, I can't even describe the curry that she used to make. Was just, I mean, make you beg for it. But that's another one. You know, you can make it too sweet sometimes. You can make it too hot sometimes. Then you can make it where you're being too careful and it doesn't have any taste at all. But when you get that curry just right, holy cow. And just like old military family.
Way to go, Goldilocks. This is too hot. This is too cold. This is just right.
But you splash that stuff on rice. I mean, it's all over. And, you know, that's
look,
another.
It works on, like, try it on egg noodles or those little ones, those little bow tie noodles or whatever. That'll work too.
Yeah, because that's.
That'll work too.
That's good eating right there.
All right, we are under 9 minutes, just for the record. Thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, that's
boy, that
cool.
feels like that didn't take long.
Do you want to go ahead and start us off on the plugs, or you want me to start off with it?
All right, well, let me play with a little bit of stuff. All right, I want to go ahead and make sure I point out the medium that allows us to bring this to you is VOC Nation, the voice of choice, brought to you by BradyHicks.com. Just for record, Brady's a hell of a guy. Let me flip a window here on the old laptop. He is on Wrestling with History tonight. In case anybody wants to call in, it's 657-383-1666. It's a show that's just got to come over to our network that is carrying us. So we want to make sure we get some love out there. We got to make sure that gets some love. Little things. I kind of touched on some of these ones before already in the night. Absolutely. The American Legion. I know it's a bit redundant. I've kind of been doing a little bit of the plugs there. The stuff that they do is really outstanding. I will tell you, as somebody that has been anywhere from part of the firing detail to somebody that's led the firing detail to somebody that's folded the flag to someone that's been responsible for giving away the flag. It is not the easiest thing in the world, and those guys volunteer to do it. That is stinking huge, and they do so much more beyond that. Again, community, the sense of belonging, the camaraderie, and again, their lobbying efforts to support our veterans. And so it's just like a really huge honor to be able to meet a bunch of the very, the key players amongst the American Legion here this evening. Got to meet a bunch of them. One of them turns out He's an old school Polish guy. We had commonality in the background in that. We ended up having just a great tangential conversation while we were poor Will and Laura were sitting there. And it was just kind of cool because, you know, the old veterans, we were just able to talk to each other. We didn't have to go through the whole, much like dogs, when they meet each other, decide if they're going to be friends and have to take time to sniff each other's butts. We were able to just talk. And it was really cool. So big props to the American Legion as well. So those are my plugs for the moment. Go ahead. We'll turn it over to you here, Dave.
Outstanding. Yeah, you make a very good point. They do. And they're all volunteer-based. That's what makes it so amazing is that, you know, of course, the guys up top get their administrative free fees and all that, but the ones that are actually pushing the wheel, those folks are doing it on their own time. And, you know, it's we all get busy. We all have things to take care of at the house, but for those folks to spend their spare time out there helping others like that, it's pretty damn noble and amazing thing that they're doing. So, yeah, nice plug on that. But for me, just a simple plug, we've got Labor Day coming up this weekend. And
yep.
For the beachgoers, it's the final hoorah. And truth be told, and you know how it is, Todd, here on the coast, everybody says that the beach season ends on Labor Day. That's a crock because you could go to Myrtle Beach, Emerald Isle, Atlantic Beach, Morehead City. You can go to all those places in December, and there's still plenty to do and plenty still going on. But if you're out this Labor Day weekend, behave yourself. And if you're not behaving yourself, have somebody around that will assist you and is behaving themselves. And be careful. And because we need everybody back to be listening next Wednesday. And just a little side note, remember, if the little youngins are not in your schools yet, they will be back to school. So it's time to get behind those big, damn aggravating yellow buses again. And it's so keep your eyes out for the kids with the backpacks. Keep your eyes out for the buses and all that good stuff because it's that time of year again. And Todd, I don't know if you saw my wise ass post on Facebook, but I got up Monday morning and I swear, and this ain't taking away anything away from anybody, of course, but I think everybody on the planet had a youngin' going back to school and they're taking a picture of them, you know, and some of them holding signs. And it stopped and it dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute. And this is the first time in years I ain't had to haul somebody. This is the first time since, 1995 when me and Dale got together where I ain't had to haul somebody to school. So I took a piece of paper and I wrote, first day of no school, and I hung it on the wall and I took a selfie with it. I posted on Facebook. God, man, I'm telling you what, I couldn't be any more thankful. You know, if there's one good thing about old age is that mortgage payments go away, schools go away, daycares go away, diapers go away, all that kind of nifty stuff. And
oh, no, diapers come back.
Yeah, but they're temporary because if the diapers get nasty, they get handed over. That's a good thing about being a grandparent.
I meant for, like, for me.
Now, for me, I am the Paul Revere of diapers. I'll hold one up and go, the brown coats are coming, the brown coats are coming. And then I'll run out of town on my horse. But, yeah, you know, of course, the best days of any parent's life is the birth of a child, when they get off a formula, when they get out of diapers, when they get out of daycare, and when they graduate. And, by God, I've reached the plateau on all of them, and it was so nice not to dump a mortgage on glue sticks and number two pencils and having to fight the traffic and get up at butt 30 to haul the youngins to school and everything. It was just It was nice. So, again,
congratulations, dude.
Yeah, man, it feels good. I'm enjoying this old age stuff. My next stop is going to be the discounts, you know? So,
well,
but yeah.
Depending upon the place, some might qualify for it or some might got to wait a wee bit. It's the way it goes. I got to throw this out there just because something you said reminded me of it. You know, we did some training here a couple weeks back. We're doing the risk management framework stuff. And I was like, you know what? You can send me to school for 4 days, give me 4 10-hour days, and make me attend class, but I guarantee to you, just because I did doesn't mean I will have any class.
I think we're all guilty of that, right? Well, all right, then we'll follow that. We will go ahead and call the show for the evening. Todd, thank you again for the help tonight. And
as always, brother.
I reckon I will be talking to you. And Dr. John promises to be back next week, so you'll have a third voice. And we'll find some other topic matter. God knows what it will be. But, it'd be good to have Dr. John back. And, we appreciate you listening to Pop Culture Stars. You guys, safe travel. Be safe. And God bless, all right? Have a good evening. Todd, you take care, brother. Much love.
Big hugs, brother. Big hugs to all you out there. Thanks for making this. Thanks for letting us do this.
All right, buddy. Well, let's have a good night. And it's time to hit the rack, as they say in the military. Have a good night, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.
You too, Dave. Night. Love you. Mean it.